Lovely. So today we're going to talk about the sacraments of confession and unction, but we're going to start about by talking not about that, but about sin and suffering and how the Orthodox Church understands healing. So I'll try to keep this to about 15 or 20 minutes, and then, like we did last time, before have questions. So, but I want you to imagine something with me. When you think about making a mistake, you know, I mean a really significant failure. You know, what comes to mind? For many of us, it's some version of a courtroom. I've done something bad. I should be ashamed, and I expect that I'm going to be judged, and there's going to be some sort of punishment that's involved. And this is sort of a legal way of understanding sin, and it's something that is deeply ingrained in our culture. Often when I talk to people, especially back in therapist days, people would come and they would feel really guilty for things that they had done. And I was in New Jersey last week, and I was talking with a number of people, and they talked to me about how guilty they felt for this or that thing that they had done wrong. But I think there's another way of looking at sin, at the bad things we do. So let's put that courtroom analogy aside for a moment, and instead picture an emergency room. Has anyone ever worked in an ER? I used to work in ERs. Actually, it's mostly psychiatric ERs, but ERs nonetheless. And in our culture, an emergency room is where you go if you are in need of some sort of immediate care. A couple of years ago, I was using a mandolin to slice vegetables, and my hand slipped, and whoosh, right across the blade. I called the urgent care down the street, and I drove down, and it was amazing. Everything had stopped. You know, they were waiting for me. They just ran me right into the exam room. The physician looks at my finger and goes, "That's nothing." I was kind of hoping for more. I disappointed him. I still had all of my digits. But when we go to an emergency room because we've been wounded and we need help immediately. The tradition of the Orthodox Church thinks about sin in a more of a medicinal way. And we see the path to restoration not as a legal case needing a pardon, but as a medical case, something that needs deep, intensive healing. This shifting from a legal to a medical model really does begin to change how we understand ourselves, how we understand other people, how we understand sin. It reframes our brokenness not as a crime to be punished, but as a sickness to be treated and an injury to be healed. So for the next couple of minutes, I want to just walk through this with you. And we'll start with talking about how we diagnose our spiritual condition. And then we'll talk about visiting a spiritual hospital where hopefully healing takes place. And then we'll look at the specific medicines and that are on the prescription pad and discover the ultimate goal of this entire therapeutic journey. So let's start where any good doctor would start, the diagnosis. So I think one of the most powerful things that we see in the tradition of the church is to change the conversation from a legal understanding of sin to a medicinal understanding. For many of us, sin just means rule-breaking. It's transactional. You cross a line, you feel guilty, you ask for forgiveness, and you move on. But what if the problem is deeper than that? Shifting the definition from simple rule-breaking to an internal disorder changes our entire approach to personal and communal sin. In this framework, sin is diagnosed first and foremost as a deep, profound internal disorder. That was the reason I spent as much time as I did with evangelical mental health professionals. They were very excited meet a Christian who comes from a tradition where sin is talked about as internal disorders, and that meshes very well with what you do in psychotherapy. But for the Orthodox, sin is an illness that attacks the very structure of who we are. It's any thought, any desire, any action that undermines our lifelong process of becoming who God has created us to be. And the root cause of this dysfunction isn't any single bad action, but a fundamental refusal to connect with the source of life itself, who is God. At its root, sin is just me trying to divorce myself from God, who is the source and goal of my life. So that doesn't necessarily mean that I do bad things. I can do good things in a way that keeps me separated from God. I once had someone tell me he would rather fail on his terms than succeed on God's. So that really is the idea behind sin. It's not necessarily that I'm going to do something bad, but I'm going to be just very stuck on getting what I want. But think about all this way. If God is the source and goal of my life, then my refusal is like cutting myself off from what makes it possible for me to be me. The damage isn't just moral, it's existential. It goes to the very heart of who I am. It isn't just that I don't do things properly, is that I begin to degrade. You know, I was talking with someone this morning, and I was talking about anti-Semitism or actually the better phrase, I think, is Jew hatred. I like that phrase better. And I said, you know, one of the problems with tolerating that kind of hatred is that even if you don't participate in it, it degrades your moral sense. If you spend a lot of time around people who are hateful and you don't separate yourself from them, then just being around them can sort of make it harder for you, harder for us to really understand what's good and what's right. So anyway, in the Orthodox Church, there are some symptoms of spiritual sickness. One is a sense of internal chaos. Our desires, our thoughts, our cravings, what the tradition calls passions, begin to tear us to pieces. And this disrupts, you know, our inner harmony and leads to, you know, feelings of anxiety and instability. You know, as that internal chaos grows, then we begin to see external disorder. As my inner life becomes more chaotic, then the life around me becomes more and more characterized by chaos, disorder, and ugliness. And everything that I do begins to feel disconnected from my own life. As a consequence as well, this inner chaos leads to relational scars. You know, I keep telling you that, especially the undergraduates, your friend group are the single best predictor of who you're going to marry. You know, so if I have relationships that are just disordered or chaotic, then that's the kind of people I'm going to have. Those are the kinds of people I'm going to start to attract. So when sin takes over, we develop sort of a tragic tendency to prefer power to intimacy. And that makes it just hard to connect to other people and to have a life that's joyful and peaceful. And then finally, sin results in society itself breaking down. For the tradition of the church, sin is more than something that happens to the individual. It has societal implications, like coercion, manipulation, involuntary poverty. Actually, St. John Chrysostom calls involuntary poverty the greatest of all evils. And we see it with deficiencies in education. All of this are symptoms of spiritual disorder. And it's as if the human community is a single body, and when one part is sick with injustice, it reveals a sickness in the whole. So now that we have just a quick diagnosis, what's the cure? Well, this brings us to the heart of the church's understanding of sin, suffering, and healing. The church is first and foremost a spiritual community, not a courtroom designed for judgment, but a hospital designed for therapeutic care and restoration. This isn't something fluffy. It's a core idea in holy tradition. The church is explicitly and repeatedly called a spiritual hospital, a place where the spiritually wounded are brought for care, and within the hospital, everyone has a role. The chief physician, the head of the hospital, is Christ, who is the one who personally heals our illnesses, and he is the ultimate source of all the healing that flows in the life of the church. But there are also people who are co-laborers. It's interesting, the Orthodox tradition holds a deep respect for both physical and spiritual healers. The idea of a hospital is a uniquely Christian notion. This idea that you would put up a building and sick people would come and you would have physicians there to cure them is a Christian notion. We look at physicians as co-laborers with God. We have a whole category of saints called the unmercenary healers, who were physicians who just worked with the poor without being paid. And then there's the community itself. The parish itself plays a vital role in our healing. Our brothers and sisters in Christ that we see Sunday after Sunday are not only fellow patients, but they're also part of the hospital staff. And they're there to rally around us when we're in need and actively participate in our own healing. And this happens when we share our life with each other and we pray together and we support each other. And it doesn't have to be anything extraordinary. Just kind voices. People who are happy to see us has a healing effect. So now we have the illness. Now we have the hospital. And what's on the pad? Healing in this spiritual hospital is not passive. It's dynamic. It's a partnership between God and the human person. The word in Greek is synergy. We cooperate with God, and it's meant to bring together not only the free gift of grace, but also our intentional efforts. There are a couple of components to this. The first is forgiveness as reconciliation. Forgiveness in the Orthodox tradition is not, it doesn't matter, but we're going to take a step to being reconciled. We're going to take a step towards being restoring a broken friendship, a broken relationship. It's not so much about wiping the slate clean or paying a cosmic debt, but mending our broken connection with God and having done that with other people. The whole purpose is to restore not only this person, but all humanity to intimacy, friendship with God and each other. The second part is the role of the patient. And again, it's a synergy. So we have to cooperate. It's funny, when we go to the emergency room or go to urgent care, we understand the doctor's going to tell us stuff and we have to do what the doctor tells us if we want to get better. It's the same in the spiritual life. We have to do the things that God has given us to do so that we can get better. God offers a cure, but we have to choose to take it and commit to the therapy. And finally, there is that therapy, and we've talked about it before when we talked about asceticism, and that's learning to come to a sense of self-mastery. If my life is being tossed this way and that because of the opinion of other people, then I'm not really whole. I'm just concerned about what other people are thinking about me. But it's not just about worrying about other people and what they think of me. It's also, again, my own thoughts and desires. If I get this idea in my head that I can't shake, or if I'm really angry at someone and I can't let go of that, all of this causes me to be a little bit less than who God has created me to be. So Last two things. This is where confession and unction come in. Confession is where, is in the tradition of the church, is sort of a renewal of baptism. It's where I stand before God and I take responsibility for my own sinfulness, my own actions. It does require that there be some sincere sorrow on my part for the harm that I've done, but I also have to be willing to do that in not only the presence of Christ, but the priest. And the reason for the priest is because whenever I commit a sin, I don't just harm my relationship with God, I harm my relationship with everyone else. And someone needs to stand there on behalf of the whole community and offer that forgiveness. And that's, I get that at absolution. And absolution is that formal prayer of the church where I'm told that God has forgiven me. And this is not something, it's not merely formal, it's not a mechanical action, it's a prophetic action of the church. We said last week that everything that we do in the sacraments is prophetic. It's an act of the Holy, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. And we have no trouble understanding that in terms of speech, but sometimes we're resistant to put that to actions. But it is. It is not just a reminder of divine forgiveness, but a prophetic action that makes real here and now in this person's life the grace, love, and mercy of God. But again, we got to keep in mind that confession isn't just about a private reset between you and God. It's also concerned about your relationship with other people. So again, that's why it's a sacrament. That's why the priest is there. The other sacrament that is the sacrament of healing is unction, or anointing of the sick. And typically, if the sacrament is celebrated in a full sense, you'll have seven priests, and you will gather as many of the believers as you can around the sick person so that the person who is ill understands, excuse me, that they're not alone, that they're a member of this community. And it's precisely that which is healing, because sickness tends to cause us to be isolated. We're not just physical, but also mental sicknesses or mental illness. It's not like the Catholic model of extreme unction. It's not just something that reserved for someone at the moment of death. In fact, Holy Unction is celebrated during Holy Week before Easter, but some parishes will have unction on a regular basis. We're a little too small for that, but we're moving into that. But it is, again, a communal sacrament. It's something to remind the sick person that they're not alone. They're not that this sickness doesn't have the last word. All right, so I'm gonna stop in a minute and a half because I have a timer going. So what we're gonna do is Orthodox Church says put away that legal model of sin and look at sin and forgiveness as something that heals you. And that healing is first of all of that deep internal disorder that we all suffer from. And this is why we have the parish. This is the point of the parish. It's not to communicate religious. I talked about this at the diocesan convention last week. It's like, please stop seeing how much information you can shovel out to people. It's about coming and being healed. But with that, especially confession and unction are sort of the sacraments that celebrate that. But throughout all of this, what we're looking for is restoration. I had someone come up to me towards the end of Sobor and been carrying a burden for a couple of decades, and the person just wanted to tell me and wanted me to say, well, God forgives. And because, you know, it was just the burden of something shameful. So think about this for yourself. How would things change if you started thinking about your own sinfulness, the sinfulness of other people, as something, not black marks on a clean sheet of paper, but if the people that you meet are themselves doing what they do because there's something broken inside them? You know, you don't yell at someone who's ill. It doesn't work. You might get frustrated, but generally and for the most part, if someone is ill, you have mercy, you have compassion on them. You don't punish them. You don't shame them. You reach out to them. You try to help them. And that changes how we talk to each other if we understand that every person that we're meeting has suffered some great internal harm. Anyway, I'm gonna stop now because I'm tired. So I'm not.